The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So have you ever been hacked? Anybody been hacked? I'm wondering if anybody has ever tried to masquerade as you in an email or online. And for me, the answer, thankfully, at this point is no. But my friend and colleague, Mike, for that wasn't the case. This past week, he was very much hacked at his congregation. Mike has always updated his passwords using two-step verification, which I don't know what in the world that is, and other security measures, but this past week, it happened. Someone posing as Pastor Mike wrote to people asking earnestly to do this or that for him, basically asking for money. But it wasn't Pastor Mike. I received an email from his congregation warning me about the hack, and one had to look very closely to even know that it wasn't him, for it looked exactly like his church email address, except at the very end. Instead of coming from .org, it came from .com, and an address and a person that wasn't Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike's reaction to being hacked was that he felt violated and betrayed, and that he felt like he had been dragged in the mud, which is exactly how John the Baptist seems to have felt toward Jesus in today's gospel reading. Last week's reading about John reminded us that at first that he was one of Jesus' greatest and most excited fans. And while busy baptizing people, John said of Jesus, "One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The way we might put it today is that John knew that at very least he was just Jesus' warm-up act. His job was to set the stage for Jesus, to get people ready for him, and then to use language that we used last week, John's job was to decrease so that Jesus could increase. In today's reading, however, John seems to have changed his mind. And who can blame him? John is now in prison, soon to be executed by the government. And where is Jesus? Where is the one more powerful than him? Where is the one John said he wasn't even worthy to carry his sandals? If ever there was a time for Jesus to show his power and overthrow the bad guys, John figures it's now. So because he's in prison, John sends some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Not a casual question. This is anguished or even a desperate question. John's life hangs in the balance. Is Jesus who John thought he was? Or has Jesus been hacked by some imposter who calls himself Jesus, but who is not more powerful than John? Are you the one who is to come, Jesus, or are we to wait for another? Some are saying that this is or should be the question that's on everyone's lips. Who are we expecting? Or what are we expecting? Who do we imagine the real Jesus to be? Are we expecting and placing our hopes in the real Jesus or some hacked version of him? Are you the one who is to come, Jesus, or are we to wait for another? At Thanksgiving, a friend of mine named Carl shared something with me that he found absolutely fascinating and thought could be used for a sermon. I'm always on the lookout for sermon ideas. And while watching a movie, a holiday movie on PBS, he learned that the very popular Christmas song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" was actually written as a response to a time of great fear and unrest in our country. I did not know this at all. I knew about the unrest. In 1962, with nuclear warheads en route to Cuba from the Soviet Union, ready to be trained on the U.S., and I remember that so vividly, the writers Noel Regney and Gloria Shane wrote a song, a Christmas song, to address the fear and the unrest. And I'm not going to sing it, but I know you know this. Said the king to people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace for people everywhere. The child, sleeping in the night. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light." Today, it's almost as if Jesus himself is singing that song in our gospel. First as an answer to John the Baptist, and then as the answer to any and all of us who are similarly asking, "Are you the one who is to come, Jesus? Or are we to wait for another? Are you the real Jesus, or some hacked or pretend version of him?" In Jesus' answer, it's as if he's quoting that Christmas song. "Do you hear what I hear?" Jesus asks. "Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know?" What Jesus is asking or urging is that we start noticing what is already happening all around us. The blind receive their sight, Jesus says, already. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offenses at me. I would like you to think about these words of Jesus. If Jesus' actions are so obvious, so noticeable, would John have needed to ask that question? Or more to the point, if the presence, the clues, if you will, of Jesus were so obvious in our lives, would you and I ever doubt? Would we ever wonder or question? The fact is, and you know this already, that the presence and actions of Jesus in our world are always hidden, always open to interpretation, and quite frankly, easily overlooked. Jesus not only can already be at work in our lives, he is already at work in our lives. And it is very easy to never notice him. For me, being a pencil and paper kind of gal, I struggle with everything on having to read everything online. If I don't spend a little bit of time each night reflecting on God's movement in my life that day, ways that God has blessed me and others, well, I would not notice that movement. When we notice, it's so much easier to be grateful. Do you hear what I hear the real Jesus is asking? Do you see what is going on around you? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? The blind walk, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the hungry are fed, the children will receive Christmas gifts on Christmas morning. We all have the good news brought to us. When we notice and we lift up our prayers of gratefulness. Amen.